To my brother Ryan, it wasn't until you were born that I learned how to sacrifice. But I don't want comfort. I want God. I want poetry. I want real danger. I want freedom. I want goodness. I want sin. Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Part 1, The Ruby Red Party. Chapter 1, The Hunt. The fawn must die so that I may live. It pains me to say this is the world I live in. I see myself as an executioner instead of a hunter. My bow and arrow are more weapons of death than tools of survival. The heat of the noon sun penetrates my forehead as I pull the arrow from my quiver and prepare to launch it at my prey. There is no innocence in this world. The arrow soars through the air and strikes the dirt. I miss the fawn by an inch and it quickly vanishes back into the woods. Death is weighing heavily on my shoulders. The almanac predicts this coming winter to be colder than the last. The fawn was more than an animal. It was the difference between survival and starvation. It was our last hope. I clench the bow at its wooden grip. My brother and father will starve now. It's true, part of me would have felt remorse for killing such a pure-looking creature, but my guilt would have paled when compared to the idea of having food on the table. I jump off the rock and the thin soles of my boots hit the ground. The feeling of tiny pebbles massaging my feet is therapeutic. I can't remember a time when I didn't feel the earth underneath me. The ground centers me and gives me balance for the things I have no control over. I tug my cap down to shield my face from the sun and make my way back to Territory G to beg. This cap is the only luxury I have in this world. I found it when I was 11 years old while hunting with my mother the week before she drowned. It's an artifact from the old world, she explained. A lost item that somehow survived the apocalypse from so many years ago. The cap is a sun-dried black and reads socks across the front. I have no idea what socks means, nor is there any way of finding out. Any records that exist of the previous world are in Cardinal City's Congressional Library, a place I can only dream of going to. I like to think socks was the name of the owner before me. I know it's morbid, but it's comforting to know that once I die, another person could inherit this hat. My family and I don't have much, and the idea of an heirloom makes me feel rich. I like how the cap rests on my head, how my blonde hair curls out of the edges. This hat has become as much of a part of me as my own limbs. It's hard to tell exactly when winter will arrive. The pine trees that make up the woods never wither, and their bark remains the same cinnamon color all year round. However, there is usually a faint sign of change. Pine trees may be evergreen, but their needles lose the vibrancy of their color as the trees prepare to go into dormancy for the winter. I noticed this for the first time last year. Today, the needles are still a healthy shade of green, and the air in the woods remains muggy. Perhaps the almanac won't be right after all. The forest is silent. I can usually hear the woodpeckers, but there don't appear to be any around me. I had heard of deer nibbling on the needles of the trees to help survive the winter. Maybe that's why I finally saw a deer in the woods after all these months. The fawn, like me, is trying to survive an unknown future. If I didn't have to worry about my family, I would spend the entire day in the wilderness surrounded by the trees. Territory G isn't very beautiful in terms of our village, nor is there much to do on a Saturday afternoon. The farmer's bazaar closes early today in preparation for the ceremony tomorrow, so I can't kill time when I'm not begging and browsing all the pretty merchandise I can't afford. As I approach the electrical fence separating the forest from Territory G, I hear a faint shuffle coming from the trees behind me. It's illegal for anyone to be hunting without a government permit. I'm the only one allowed to hunt in this forest because I have a license to do so. I hear the person behind me coming closer. I don't want to turn around and spoil their misconstrued idea that they have the advantage. In my experience, leading people into a false sense of security is usually the difference between life and death. Whoever this person is, they're not as covert as they think they are, and I can easily strike at them once they are close enough.